are tuned in to Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
Indeed, we are powered by SID Media. We have been looking at the three angels' message. We started off with the importance of it, and then now we are breaking down each and every single angel. You know, what was the message that they have been given? We've looked at the first angel there, where now they're going to have to go and proclaim, you know, the living gospel there to every tongue, nation, and so forth and so on. And then yesterday, we did a bit of history there. We're looking at Babylon, understanding what is that system, basically, that the Babylonian system, and why, in fact, it's going to be falling, the wine as well. Pastor Mofora was gracious enough, you know, to take us through that study there. If this exam comes, I will definitely pass. And today we are looking at the third angel's message so that we can better understand the overall message there. Mfu, good morning, and how are you? Sorry for waking you up.
Good morning. Good morning to the viewers as well. Yo, I was so dead asleep. I was so very tired. And thank you so much for waking me up.
No, we are so glad, Mfundi. So before we start, I'm going to ask that, can you please pray?
Yes, most definitely. Let us pray. Father, thank you so much for being gracious enough to give us another day. And we thank you for the blessings you've given us as a country, as a people. We thank you for the rains as well, and we pray that you keep us safe in it. As we study, we pray that you explain your truth to us and understand them. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen and amen. Mfundis, I'm going to read it as usual, lest we leave people there. And it says, and so this is Revelation 14, verses 9 to 12. It's a bit lengthy. I will try to read faster. A third angel followed them and said in a loud voice, "If anyone worships the beast and his image and receives his mark on the forehead or on the arm, he too will drink of the wine of God's fury, which has been poured full strength into the cup of his wrath. He will be tormented with burning sulfur in the presence of the holy angels and of the Lamb, and the smoke of their torment rises forever and ever. There is no rest or night for those who worship the beast and his image, or for anyone who receives the mark of his name." This is quite an interesting one. The mark of the beast. Anyway, why this message in terms of the third angel? We understood the first one, the second one, and then this one, is he now tying the other two angels' messages?
Okay. Yeah, it's quite a lengthy one, and this one obviously does not need a few minutes to explain. But anyway, we'll try our best to explain. There are a few things there that we need to explain on the third angel's message. Now, the first angel's message and the second angel's message, they were messages that were given as an answer to Revelation chapter 10. Okay. Including, of course, the third angel's message. But it's a big distinct because the message of the third angel's message is preached from verse 11 of Revelation chapter 10. Let me explain what I'm talking about for those who may not be following or who may just join us today. You see, in Revelation chapter 10, we notice that there is an angel. And this angel is Jesus Christ, who gives out a message. And the Bible says, when he spoke, there were seven thunders that thundered. And John says, "I was about to write, and I was told, no, do not write what the seven thunders have said," you know. But then he had a little book that was in his hand, which was an open book, okay? Mm-hmm. He gave it to John, and John ate it. It was sweet in his mouth, and it was bitter in his belly. Now, we need to understand that to understand the third angel's message. Now, what was the little book? Very fast. The Bible says he had a little book which was open. Now, in order to understand what that little book which was open is, we need to find a little book which was closed first in the Bible. So if you go to Genesis to Revelation, there is no book that was closed except the one that we hear in the book of Daniel chapter 12, in the last verses of Daniel chapter 12. Daniel chapter 12, God says to Daniel, seal up the words of this book. Now, the book of Daniel is divided into two. There is Daniel's big book and Daniel's small book. Daniel's big book is chapter 1 all the way up to chapter 7. Okay. Parts of chapter 8. And Daniel's small book, now Daniel 1 to 7 can be explained and people understood.
Yes.
But Daniel chapter 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, even Daniel himself did not understand the prophecies that he was given. Mm. And he was asked that for those few chapters that they will be closed and be sealed, they will be opened in a later stage.
Okay.
So the rest of the prophets in the Bible, they waited, including the whole of Christendom, waited for a time when that small little book will be open.
Mm.
Until Revelation chapter 10, when this mighty angel, which is Jesus Christ, comes with a small book which was open. What it meant was the understanding of the prophecies of the book of Daniel, especially Daniel chapter 8 to chapter 12, with the one distinct verse, which is Daniel chapter 8, verse 14, which said, unto 2,300 days, then the sanctuary shall be cleansed. Follow me. Now, when that verse was interpreted, many did not understand until there was a man in the 1800s whose name was William Miller. Mm. And when William Miller studied the Bible, he studied it from the 1800s, early 1800s, 1815, 16, 17, 18, 19, all the way up to 1830s. And he never preached a single verse. He simply studied the Bible from Genesis to Revelation for all those years until one day, in the 1830s, when a preacher did not show up at church, that he was given a chance to preach, and he preached on Daniel 8, verse 14, that Christ was going to come. Now, the interpretation that William Miller gave was that Christ was going to come in October, in March 1843. That's what he preached.
Mm.
And when he preached that, people were excited about the preaching. And that's how the book was being eaten, because people were understanding. Eating of the book is understanding.
Okay.
That's why people ate the book, and it was sweet to them. They loved it. The story says there was a man whose name was Charles Fish, who was baptizing people. He baptized them, and he baptized them every day in water until he died of pneumonia. When he died, his family was even asked not to, because he died 2 weeks before October 22, 1844, because they remembered that there is no year zero, so it cannot be in 1843. They had to add one more year to balance it up to 1844 of October.
Mm.
So 22 October 1844. So he didn't, the family was told, don't even cry, because he died 2 weeks before 22 October 1844. That's how sweet the gospel was.
Mm.
But alas, on 22 October 1844, Christ did not come. Now, according to Daniel 8 verse 14, Christ was going into the most holy place of the heavenly sanctuary.
Mm.
He was going in there to intercede for his people. So they failed to understand that. It was a great disappointment. But the instruction now in Revelation chapter 10, verse 11, was because the first angel's message was preached and was fulfilled from the 1800s. The second angel's message, which says Jesus, that people were supposed to embrace the everlasting gospel. It was preached because it was sweet in the mouths of the people.
Mm.
The second angel's message that says Babylon is fallen was preached because people came for baptism into the truth, and they came out of Babylon in numbers. Many of them came out. But now remember, the angel had not written what the seven thunders had uttered. The seven thunders he had uttered about the great disappointment. Now, how do I know that? I know that because it is in that interpretation that this in chapter 10 of the book of Revelation, that the angel prophesies and he swears with him that lives forever, with his foot on the land and with his foot on the sea. And he says there will be time no more. The time being referenced there is Daniel chapter 8, verse 14, which is the 2,300 day prophecy, which starts in the year 457 BCE, according to the prophecies where the nation of Israel was instructed to rebuild Jerusalem by King Artaxerxes, when the decree was given in 457 BCE, and it goes all the way up to 1844. Now, if you break it down very fast and very quickly, you will notice that from the year 457 BCE all the way to AD 27, unto Messiah the Prince, according to Daniel chapter 9, verse 27, verse 24, 25, and 26, you will notice that those are 70 years that are given to the Jews. By the way, according to the Bible prophecy, A day is equal to a year. So if you're saying 70 years, that is 490 years, okay? 490 years that were given to the Jews. But remember, they are given only 69 weeks, according to Daniel chapter 9, verse 24 and 25. They are only given 69 weeks. And then one last week, which is the last 7 years, from AD 27 to AD 34. That's where the Messiah was going to be baptized, AD 27, and he was going to be cut off in the middle of the week, AD 31. And then the preaching of the gospel to the Gentiles by the stoning of Stephen in AD 34. If you are in AD 34, they are you say 2,300 years minus 490 years, you remain with 1,810 years or 1810. If you add 1,810 years, if you add it to AD 34, you will be left, or you will arrive at 1844, which is the exact time and date when the sanctuary was being cleansed, when Christ entered the Holy of Holies and did not come to earth. So the disappointment meant many people were going to leave the church. But the instruction in Revelation chapter 10, verse 11 was saying, no, even after that disappointment, you must go and prophesy again. That's Revelation 10, verse 11. Go and prophesy again. In other words, go and preach again. Now, that's where the challenge was, because in 1844, people didn't want to hear anything about Christ, prophecies or times or anything like that. They didn't want to hear anything. They were disappointed. And now, but the instruction was, now we know those who are genuine, those who do not just repent because now they know Christ is coming tomorrow. They live lavishly, carelessly today, and then tomorrow they want to repent. But now we know the true people who will follow him no matter what. And those true people were known as the remnant. And those true people were instructed not to worship the beast. Now remember what the beast is. Daniel chapter 7, reading from verse 16 and 17, the Bible tells us that the four beasts that you have seen are four kingdoms. So a beast is a kingdom according to Bible prophecy. Now we have got about four kingdoms that are given in Daniel chapter 7, which is the kingdom of Babylon, Medes and the Persians, the Greeks, the Romans, and the Romans, which were then divided into 10 different kingdoms, or 10 different countries, if you can put it like that, which is the 10 different countries in Europe, okay? Yeah. So, now I know I'm speaking very fast. There's a lot of information here. But the remnant, those who remained faithful to God, were instructed never to worship the beast or never to worship the kingdom. Which kingdom is this? Now remember, in the year 538, the Romans mutated from being a pagan Rome into a papal Rome, from being a political Rome into a spiritual Rome, from being a Rome that did not care about the church to becoming a Rome that was interested in church politics. Why? Because Constantine, remember, they left the Caesars, they left the city of Rome and went to Turkey in a city called Constantinople. When they left Rome, they went to Turkey to further their political empire, and they left Rome into spiritual things. They only left Rome into worship and into church governance, and the Caesar abdicated the role of being the spiritual father, and he left it to the bishop of Rome. Now, there were three bishops: the bishop of Africa, which was the bishop of Alexandria, the bishop of Asia, and the bishop of Rome. So they had to decide who is going to take the role of Caesar, since Caesar is no longer interested in spiritual things. They voted. The bishop of Africa had the people, but he didn't have the money. The bishop of Asia was a new kid on the block. He just didn't know much. They were worshiping idols. They were just coming into Christianity. The bishop of Rome, they had the infrastructure because Rome was the capital city. They had the money as well because it was the capital city. So they voted that the bishop of Rome becomes their superior bishop, their pontifex maximus, their pope or their father or their leader. So that's how Rome usurped, or rather became, the citadel of spiritual custodianship. When they became that powerful, that kingdom there in reference, or the kingdom of Rome is being referenced now as the beast, because a beast is a kingdom. So anyone who worship, because remember the Babylonians or the Romans, they did not want to follow the Christian way of doing things. They wanted their own ways of doing things. I explained yesterday how they introduced Christmas in AD 336, and they introduced it as a worship that they were doing for Tammuzmas, but they baptized it into Christianity. The Tammuzmans themselves, those who worship Tammuz, they used to baptize kids into water. They would dip them into water, and they had to introduce that into Christendom in the year 489 AD. They introduced it into Christianity. By the way, they also refused to follow the Jews who used to worship on a Sabbath, and they said, we want to follow our sun god, but still in a Christian way. And they changed in 321, they changed the day of worship from the Sabbath into Sunday. Yes. So they introduced all these things, and the message of the third angel is saying, if any man worships the beast, that means from 1844 going onwards, the remnant, those who remained faithful, they were not supposed to worship the beast. They were supposed to remain faithful to the true measure of God. But the beast was going to do all its power to make them wander after the beast. That's the previous chapter, Revelation chapter 13, where we hear about the beast that comes from the water, which is Rome, and the beast that comes from the sea, which is America, that comes in to assist the beast from the water. And now people are going to be scared, because the beast is going to say to them, if anyone does not worship me, I'm going to put a mark on their forehead.
Okay.
And if those people who will receive this mark are the only ones that are going to be able to buy and sell. Now, the question is, then this beast is a kingdom. We understand that. But then what is the mark? How do we know what the mark is?
Yes.
Now, if you go to Ezekiel chapter, 20, verse 12, it will tell you something that is interesting. Do you have a Bible there? I know I've been speaking on a marathon.
Yay!
I'm sorry.
Ezekiel, Bunny.
Ezekiel chapter 20 verse 12 and chapter 20 verse 20. Let's go to Ezekiel 20 verse 12. Let's understand what the mark is, or what the sign or seal is.
Ezekiel 20 verse 12. Also, I gave them my Sabbaths as a sign between us, so they would know that I, the Lord, made them holy.
Mm-hmm. So let's read that slowly. It says, also, I did what?
I gave them my Sabbath as a sign between us, so they would know that I, the Lord, made them holy.
So the Sabbath, according to God, is a what?
It's a holy day.
It's a sign. It is a sign that God gave to his children so that they may know that he is the one that makes people holy. So how do we know God makes us holy? It is through the Sabbath.
Okay.
Verse 20. What does verse 20 say? That will be the last verse.
20. Keep my Sabbath holy, that they may be a sign between us. Then you will know that I am the Lord your God.
Right. So the Sabbath is a sign. If we keep the sign, then people will know that he is our God. Now, how do people know that you worship the true God? According to the Bible, according to Ezekiel, how do people know? What is the sign, or what is the mark that proves that you are children of God? It is by keeping the Sabbath. If you keep the Sabbath, then people will know that you are made holy by God. So if the Sabbath is a sign, if the Sabbath is a seal, if the Sabbath is a mark, obviously, when this beast comes, or when this kingdom comes, it will go against the teachings of God, and it will need its own mark as well. So if God's mark is a day, obviously the beast's mark, or the mark of the beast, is also going to be a day.
Pause.
So what is the day that is going to do?
Pause, Mfundisi.
Okay.
English. You said going to be, not that it already is, right?
Yes.
Okay. No, just in the clarity.
Yes.
There. You may continue.
Okay. The reason is because, thank you for that. The reason is because the first angel's message was preached, and it was fulfilled from the 1800s, 1830s, up to 1830s. The second angel's message was preached from the 1830s. Remember, in 1833, that's where the stars fell, right?
Mm-hmm.
When the sixth seal was opened, when the stars fell, and there was earthquakes and all those things that happened, where there was darkness upon the earth before that in the 1700s and after after darkness, the moon could not give its light. And then finally in 1833, the stars fell according to the prophecies of Daniel chapter 6, Revelation chapter 6. When all this happened, William Miller was preaching and people could see these signs in the heavens and they were convinced that's the first and the second angel's message. They were convinced that indeed Babylon is fallen and they came out in numbers. But the third message still needed to be preached, which they started to preach after the disappointment in 1844, which you and I are emphasizing even today,
okay,
which is the third angel's message, which is preached from 1844 and is yet to be completely fulfilled at the very second coming of Christ. So between 1844 and now and the second coming of Christ, we are preaching the third angel's message. And it is within the context of that message that the beast is going to introduce its mark and force everyone neither to buy nor to sell except anyone that has the mark. So the mark is already there. It is not yet enforced.
Okay.
Right. So what is the mark? I was still explaining what a mark is.
Yes.
In order for us to understand, I was saying we need to understand God's mark. And according to the Bible, Ezekiel says the Sabbath is God's mark. So if the Sabbath is God's mark, what did the beast do in 1821? The beast in 1821 came in and introduced its own mark or its own seal or its own day. And that was the transference, because the Romans were so proud people. Remember, you were not allowed to go to Rome unless you had citizenship or you were invited, you know. You couldn't just go. Romans were superior people. They were regarded as better people. Rome was too clean for pagans. I mean, for barbarians to be walking in the streets of Rome. You had to work hard for your freedom. You couldn't just go to Rome. It was that's why the Romans are the first ones to introduce colonialism or colonization. The Romans are the first ones that came to introduce colonization. When they attacked you, they did not take you to Rome because they said Rome was too superior. They colonized you in your own country and ruled you in your own country and sent emissaries and prefects in your own country. Like Pilate, he was a Roman prefect because the Romans could not allow foreigners to come to their country. So they were that strict. In the same manner, they introduced also their mark, which was they didn't want to worship according to the Jews because they felt Jews were inferior to them. So they came up with a new day of worship, which was the day of the sun, or which was Sunday. And that's the day that they glorified. But up to today, the mark has been there. They even say it, if you read the catechism of their diocese, they instigate that there is nowhere in the Bible that you will find God saying we should worship on a Sunday. But the fact that we tell people to worship on a Sunday, it is the sign of our authority and that the Mother Church is superior to the Bible. And everyone today, if you ask them why they worship on a Sunday, they don't even answer. They simply do because the whole world does that. But what they don't know is that it is the mark that the beast has introduced as a sign of its own, because God has said the Sabbath is my sign. So God is now saying, if anyone worships the beast, follows after him, and also keeps his day instead of God's commandments, the same is going to burn and is going to drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is spilled in his cup without mixture. And they are going to be punished until they are completely extinct. That's what it means by saying forever and forever, you know. And they're going to be punished forever until they are extinct. In other words, when it says it doesn't mean they'll be punished every day until forever comes, no. But that means they will burn completely and be destroyed, obliterated, and totally extinct from planet Earth, because God is going to remove sin and those that love sin. Okay, but those who love God and those who understand the truth, God is saying, come out of Babylon, come out of here, my people. God has wonderful people that are still worshiping in Babylon. God has got wonderful people that are still following after the beast. And the message of the three angels or the third angel is saying, God is saying, come out of here so that he can give you his mark, his seal, and you can be protected and safe until the day God punishes the beast and the false prophet and the dragon. On the day that God finally does that, we who would have followed the beast and had the message of salvation and came out will be forever saved. And alas, my friends, those who will not heed to the teachings of the word of God, they are going to be punished and they will forever cease to exist on planet Earth or in heaven.
So when it says there, it's 10. Mm-hmm. I agree. When we read scripture, we say 10a, 10b. So I'll just say 10b. It says that he will be tormented with burning sapphire in the presence mm-hmm. of the holy angels. Who is that he? Is that Lucifer?
Okay, it's if any man. That word he is referring to any man. I got it. The verse says, if any man worships the beast. So the word man there is not necessarily masculine to refer to men only, lest the women go like, Tina, we are saying it's only for men.
No. So, okay. So meaning that everyone who receives the mark of the beast, they will burn in that sapphire.
Yes, we should complete it. If anyone who receives the mark of the beast and worships the beast, if anyone receives the mark on his right hand and also on his forehead, which simply means those who receive it on their forehead are those who refuse to hear the truth, because you use your frontal lobe to make decisions. To follow after the truth. If you receive the truth, it is sealed on your forehead. But there are those who will know the truth, like some of us or some people who are part and parcel of us who know the truth, but will continue to break the commandments of God. They will receive the mark on their right hand. And not on their forehead, because the forehead, they already know the truth, so the mark cannot be put there, but they continue to break the law of God, so it is going to be put on their right hand. So others will have it on their forehead, for they refuse the truth. Others will receive the truth, but will keep breaking the law of God. Both parties are going to receive the mark, others on their forehead, others on their right hand, and the same, all those who do that, the Bible is very clear that the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out undiluted into his cup. Remember the cup Jesus drank already. But those who refuse Christ and his truth, they will still drink the cup for themselves. Okay. And then the Bible says, and he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke of their torment ascends up forever and ever. That means they will be completely destroyed, and they have no rest day or night, who worship the beast and his image, and whosoever receives the mark of his name. But the beautiful part is verse 12, which says, here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God. You see that? And the faith of Jesus Christ. So these who keep the commandments of God, they are going to be saved, because it is within the commandments of God that we have the fourth commandment, which teaches about the seal of God, which is the Sabbath of the Lord.
Yeah, ne? You overspoke. But we learned. Mpundi Swami. So to tie the whole three angels message, if someone was like, okay, I didn't hear you guys on Monday when you spoke about the importance, I didn't hear on all of these days, but today I tuned in. What is their scaffolding, Mpundis, in terms of the three angels message before Sival?
Number one, we need to remember that the three angels in themselves are spiritual or symbolic. They represent you and I, who are supposed to spread the message of truth to the rest of the world. Which message are we spreading? Number one, we are not intimidating people about the mark of the beast. But first of all, we tell them about the good news, which is the first angel's message. We tell them that God has got good news of salvation, and we need to give him glory and to give him honor and to worship him. And the second thing is to remind them that the Babylon, which has taken the whole world by storm, it is fallen, and we need to come out of here so that we can be saved. And finally, give a message of warning that if those who remain in there and refuse to know the truth, God is not going to be patient with them forever. There is a time when judgment is going to come, and those who will remain in the presence of the beast and worship him, they are going to be completely destroyed, and they will cease to exist.
Mpundisi, thank you so much. But before I let you go, we are in our prayer season, right? 10 days of prayer.
Okay.
So you know that when we do that, as AWR, we receive like a zillion prayer requests. So I'm going to ask that, can you please take some so that we don't miss anyone, you know, that have sent through their prayer requests. So I'm just going to read you three. I know. Okay. Just three or four, and then you pray. So the first one, Mpundiswami, it's from Unozipho she's saying that, may you please pray for me that I may get a UK sponsorship and to get a job that will allow me to be off on the Sabbath day. So she is looking at a job that will allow her to be off on a Sabbath day so that she can rest like everyone else. And then the second one here that is coming, this one is saying, good morning, my name is Beatrice Kumalo. Please pray for my family. Our children are rebellious. Pray for healing from cancer. Pray for a job that will allow me not to work on a Sabbath. Wow, okay. Pray for financial breakthrough. Pray for God's grace and guidance. And then she says, amen. And then we do the last one, Pundis, that I'm going to give you is that one from Anderson, saying that my prayer request for me is I need guidance from God as I work in his vineyard for 2024.
Okay. All right. Okay, let's pray. Father, we thank you for your children. We thank you for their request that they make before your throne. They make them because they know you don't disappoint, but you answer them and you even bless them more than they even think. Father, in a world that is filled with rebellion, in a world that is filled with sin, we pray, first of all, that you may grant your mercy upon your children. I want to pray specifically, Lord, for these three that have been mentioned. I want to pray especially, Lord, for children that are rebellious, children that have gone against the teachings and the instructions of your word and their parents. I pray that, Father, in your mercy and in your love, you may hold them and bring them back into the fold. And we pray that, Lord, the winds of influence that are affecting them may be silenced, and may they see the very presence of God. And like Paul on the Damascus road, may they repent and see you, God, as you direct them back into the paths of righteousness. We also pray for the blessing of work. We know, Lord, the days we're living in are very evil days. And Lord, even the influence we have leads us to even working against your true principles, which is the Sabbath. We pray that you bless your children with good jobs that will grant them to keep your law. Over and above, we pray that you bless them with even ideas that can grant them ability to even work for themselves so that they do not answer to anyone and can worship you freely. Also pray for the specific blessing of sponsorship that this our sister needs so that they can go and work in the country of their choice. We pray that you open doors which seemingly is closed. Bless your children, oh God. We also pray for everyone else that may have sent their prayer requests and we did not read them. We pray that, Lord, you attend your ear to each and every one of them. We know you do, but we pray that you speed up the process of answering their prayers. Prepare them and make them ready to work according to the blessing that you give. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen and amen. Mfundisi, thank you so much for coming through and availing yourself. May you have yourself a blessed day. You may go back to sleep now.
I can't. I have to go to work. Thank you so much. God bless you.
Bye.
And bye.
You are tuned in to Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
Indeed, you are powered by the SID Media. So what we're going to